morning, diners and travelers. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig.
And happy Independence Day to everyone. This is one day of the year when Peter feels a little bit torn between his two citizenships, but all Americans across the world, we join you in celebrating the Stars and Stripes and our nation's history. And now let's go back to...
And we're going to be doing something just slightly different. We're going to stay in Spain, but we're going to
We're not staying in Spain. We moved from Portugal to Spain.
Right.
Oh, this is our first of two programs about the wonderful city of Alicante and the region around it. But it not only has that as a theme, it also has a theme which is unusual for Spain in that our theme today is lady chefs.
No, I don't think it's unusual. I think we've been finding a lot of them.
Well, we have now.
Yeah, but we haven't figured out why.
Well, we got some answers why, I guess, from three exponents of the fine art of the culinary. On our recent visit, first of all, we should say Juan Yantada from the Valencia Tourism Commission, welcome this morning. Thank you so much for the arrangements you made in putting our visit together, but the ladies are in charge today.
Right.
And first up, Maria Jose San Roman, who's has had a very interesting life, including the fact that in this era of World Cup, her husband was the goalkeeper for the Spanish national team for something like 15 years and got into the food business in a rather sort of backwards direction, and it makes for a rather interesting story.
Yeah, she's dynamite.
She's dynamite, and the restaurant Monastrell and the bar Monastrell in Alicante are both excellent places, and you'll hear some of the story in the next interview.
Maria Jose San Ramon, you have been just delightful as a companion through our lunch. And the food has been wonderful. And you have so many exciting stories. Where should we start? Let's start with hello and welcome to On the Menu.
Hello.
Yes. And then give us a little bit of idea about some of the places you've worked before. You are a chef.
Well, I've been working with Juan Roca. You know, El Selle de Can Roca?
That must have been so exciting.
Yes. I've been owning restaurants for about 30 years with my husband, but I wasn't in the kitchen. Just we were in the management, but I wasn't involved in the kitchen. And I decided to become like more professional. That is why I went to work with the best. I thought it was the best at the moment. It's a long time ago. I worked with Joan, and I also work with Nathel. Jean-Louis Nathel was the chef at the Bouilly before Ferran Adrià.
Oh, yes, okay.
He was a French chef.
So, but he was more traditional, right?
Well, traditional French, of course.
Yeah.
But he knows a lot about the Spanish cuisine, and you can say he was the fine dining in the 1990. He was the number one in Barcelona. He was two Michelin star. And I really learned a lot, and many chefs in Spain learned a lot out of him.
Yes. Now, you were from Barcelona.
Yeah, well, I lived there for a few years.
Okay.
And my husband is from Barcelona. I have a lot of influence from the Catalan cuisine, too.
Okay. And where were you born?
I was born in Castilla.
Uh-huh.
And my mother was from Asturias, but I always live here. I mean, I'm 54, and I live 50 years in Alicante, so...
Okay,
you must consider
qualifies.
Me. I'm an Alicantina woman.
Okay, now we're currently in your bar attached, which is very smart, and the food is wonderful. Bar food is just elevated to a whole new level here. And it's attached to your restaurant called Monastrell, which is, if you don't mind my saying so, viewed as the best restaurant in Alicante.
Probably.
Oh, she's so
modest.
I fight for this,
you know. I try to be my best every day, and I just really want to get to people, to what they want, really. Because if you do something, it must be that people agree with what you do.
Now, your restaurant is named for a grape or a place or both?
A grape called Monastrell. I think it's called Mauvedre in
right,
French.
Exactly.
And probably Alicante in English. It's called Alicante. I've been to Napa Valley. And there is a grape called Alicante that is Monastrell.
Oh, really?
It's got a lot of melon.
Oh, see, I wondered why you would pick one name like that. That's interesting.
It sounds good to the, I mean, when you say Monastrell in Spanish, it sounds gastronomic, it sounds strong, and it means gastronomy in a way. It's easy to remember.
Okay, now we've already talked to your daughter and her restaurant. Well, it's your restaurant. How many restaurants altogether do you have?
We do have five restaurants.
Okay,
five
what
different
are they?
Places.
Let's do that.
Taberna del Gourmet, which you have been last night with my daughter Jenny.
Yeah, which was wonderful. We've been twice.
Okay, this is being nominated like the best tapas bar in Spain, as you know.
Oh, it's just fabulous. Absolutely fabulous.
Yes, we are very proud and is there where we are doing our best. But the mother house is Monastrell, where you are now, where I do my kitchen, where I work every day, where I have my fine dining restaurant, and I'm trying to go further with Monastrell. Besides this, we have a grill. We cook on the fire. We don't cook rice, we cook fish, very nice fish on the fire, and meat. Meat from Castilla, we have the lamb, a white lamb from Raza Churra, which we are very proud of. We have the pork, Iberian pork, also in the grill, and the magnificent meat from Galicia
cow.
Old cow, which is beautiful. We make beautiful steaks. But what people are demanding there is vegetables, which we grow there.
Yeah, you seem to have a lot of vegetable dishes
everywhere.
In all of your... Now, why is that? Are you partial to vegetables?
Yes. It's me, personally, is what I like to eat the most. If you ask me what I will order here, it will be aubergines and capsicums and onions. I mean, I die for this. And in the Vaqueria, we now grow in our own greens.
Are you really?
Yes, it's a little villa, and we grow greens there, and we don't grow enough, so we have somebody doing this for us, and it's all organic in Elche. We grow 16 different kinds of tomatoes.
Oh, wow. Heirlooms, probably. Heirlooms, old-style, true tomatoes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I brought some seeds from Blue Hill, from Dan Barber.
Did you really?
Yes,
Dan
I'm very friend. I'm very friend of Dan. And I'm very glad to be there many times, and I like very much what he's doing. So I'm trying to follow him too.
I see.
So I've got somebody doing this for me in Elche, which is about 20 kilometers from Alicante. He's growing the tomatoes for all our restaurants.
Okay, now we got to three of the restaurants. What are the others then?
We've got a mussels place with mejillones, and we do all kind of always. Mussels can be eaten.
Really?
Yes.
Mussels.
Tomato sauce and white wine.
It's one of my most favorite.
Oh, you could
dishes.
Go there on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking because we were looking for another place. Or maybe Monday. Yes, we have another place that's called Mussels. Mejillones in Spanish. It's a very
Mejillones.
Little place, but it's by the front size. And it's, well, we are doing very well there. And we have an American place called Tribeca.
It's called Tribeca.
Like
in Tribeca.
Yes, like New York. It used to be called Frankfurt. We've got this for 32 years. But it's maybe 6 years ago that we changed the name into Tribeca.
Now, why Tribeca? Because you like...
We love this place of New York.
Yeah, you do love New York, don't you?
Yes. And we did change, we did renovate the business, and we painted all the walls with very nice paintings. We'll show you later on. Maybe you are here a few days, and it's very near here.
Okay. Now,
hamburgers there. We sell hamburgers.
Hamburgers.
And sausages.
That's great. I think almost all chefs with fine dining establishments are also opening, and this is all around the world now, more casual places, and particularly appealing seem to be burger bars.
Yes. Why not?
Know. Well, I mean, your husband started with hot dogs, Frankfurters.
Frankfurts.
Yeah.
This is sausages.
Uh-huh.
Yes, because it's when you are 25, he was 25 when he did that, is the kind of food that he maybe liked to eat at the time.
And he was a goalkeeper.
Yes, he's been the goalkeeper from the Spanish selection for 13 years.
Wow. Now, is
winning
he all, excited
all the prizes.
About the World Cup, is he all excited about that?
Yes, we are all very excited because we... We are in good position to do something good.
Well, everybody's hopeful, I know.
This is a forecast, listeners. By the time you hear this, Maria may be right or she may be wrong. Who can tell?
Oh, yes, probably. We will know soon.
Well, then we have a couple of three different things right off the top of my head. Can you tell us a little about bar menu here that we just had? We had some wonderful food.
You know, when I moved to this Hotel Amerigo, which is the only 5 stars hotel in the city.
Yeah, let's make a big point of this because people who know your restaurant have to be prodded a bit to realize that you have moved, that you are now in a new locale altogether in the
Amerigo
Hotel.
And yes. Now it's a move of about 50 meters, listener.
Yes, really, they won't really, get lost.
It's really not very far, but you might feel tragic when you arrive in front of the old establishment because the wonderful stainless steel door is still there, as if Monasterio is still there. Apparently, Maria explained earlier on, and I'll say this so that her modesty isn't affronted. She said the restaurant that was here in the Amerigo Hotel was really bad. And they closed it down.
I think that's not very fair.
And they said, Marie, would you please come in here and make this good again? And that happened only just a few weeks ago.
Yes, we are very new here. And I plan to make not only a fine dining restaurant, because as you said, we are all moving into the casual. So I thought it would be a good idea to have a casual bar and a fine dining restaurant for occasions. So there is where you are in the barra.
Well, we have this wonderful and your menu. You even have sushi on this menu. You have tapas, you have sushi, you have Asian influences all around, as well as your classic Spanish. What's the theme of this bar?
You know, because I don't want to be as same as Taberna del Gourmet.
Right.
You know, we are too close, and I want to make another choice so that people one day go to Taberna del Gourmet. This is our fiesta coming.
Already it started.
San Juan fiesta starts next week.
Now the parade starts today.
Yes, you should be here. It will be a lot of fun.
Ooh, yes.
So we do this a little bit different from Taberna del Gourmet, so that one day you think I'm going to Monastrell Barra, and it will be something different. So it's very fashion everywhere to have Asian food, and I mix a little bit. I just have like 10 or 12 items from Asian cuisine, and people are excited to come to a safe place, which is my house, and I have some Asian. You know, because we don't have many Asian restaurants in the city.
Right.
It's very...
Well, not only that, but your sushi chef is Swedish.
This doesn't count anymore. Don't ask for the nationality of the chefs, because I heard...
Oh, he's wonderful.
I heard this morning the best paella in a restaurant, maybe in Valencia, are made by a Chinese chef. You have to count on the... who is running the kitchen? Because none of my chefs in Taberna del Gourmet are Spanish.
Which is very sad,
but it's the truth.
Well, I mean, this is the way of the world at this point.
And I don't mind. I mean, I'm very glad that they can do their work so good.
I don't want to lose track of this saffron idea or the White House thing, but let's, before we move to that point, describe what your menu is at your flagship restaurant, Monastrell.
At the fine dining?
Yes.
Okay, I come from my older place, and we had a big menu there, like 12 items for entree and for starters, and here I don't have such a big kitchen. I thought, why should I make so many? If I do four, and they are very good, because people at the end, they eat what I like. They ask me, Maria Jose, what shall we have tonight? So I thought, 4 or 5 starters, and then main, 4 or 5 again, and 4 or 5 desserts. That would be enough. And I make a menu. You choose 1, 1, 1, or you choose 2, 1, 1. It's a different price, as many items as you choose. And people are very pleased with this selection.
But you have, like, lobster dishes.
Yes.
A lobster dish. But there's usually a supplement. You don't have a supplement on there?
No, that's why they're so pleased. Because they think they can have lobster and scallops and find very nice things at only 55 euros for the whole menu.
This is a bargain.
So they think, I want people to feel like this, because you may get one that is asking for the most expensive thing, but most of the people, they will ask for the vegetables and for the soups and for the gazpacho. But you've got the feeling that you can order the most expensive. And that's very important. I mean, they feel very safe in my house, and I'm very glad to have done this.
Well, let's go back to your spectacular event participating in the White House conference sponsored by Michelle Obama, launching her anti-obesity program. But you were connected into this through a mutual friend of ours, Jose Andres.
Yes. Jose invited me to the Paella Festival, which is happening for 2 weeks now.
Okay, so tell us about that.
That's yes. Jaleo is having a Paella Festival from the 7th of June. 2 more weeks. I mean, this week is lasting, and then next week also.
So you were brought in as a paella expert, but also I've heard you referred to as the queen of saffron.
The more you say that, the most I will be. But I'm really, in fact, the most expert chef in the world about saffron.
Now, why? How do you get to be an expert on saffron?
You know that we have the industry of saffron lies in Alicante village, which is called Novelda. We have about 80 industries that sell saffron all over the world. We don't produce it here, but we sell it. And we are well known all over the world because of the saffron.
Now, is it all still hand-picked like that?
Yes, of course.
Ooh. Yes. Every little pistol.
But it's not hand-picked here. It's hand-picked in central Spain. Right?
Yes, in La Mancha. There is saffron in many other places of the country. No, we don't grow big amounts now. The production went down a few years ago. Now it's increasing, by the way, because the price is getting more interesting, so people are planting saffron again. And we probably have one of the highest quality in the world, Spanish saffron.
There's a difference between the good quality and the bad. I know that. Right?
There is a difference. We pick the flowers in the morning and we dry them in the afternoon. You know, they are fresh. What is the only difference we have from the one probably from Iran?
I see.
That they maybe pick it today and they take the flowers out between 10 days and they dry. You know, it keeps a little bit too long. But I must say, Iranian saffron is also very
good. That's also good, yes.
I mean, it's good. We make it tasty because I'm writing my book.
Yeah, tell me about this book. I mean, what is it you can say about saffron, the whole history of it, and how it's produced? And do you have recipes?
Yes, many people talk about this already. I mean, we know how saffron grows and how it's picked, and we have beautiful pictures in many books. But there is no books talking about how to use saffron.
So yours is mainly recipes and how to...
It's going to be recipes in a way, but it's going to be a professional help for chefs to know how much saffron for what. It will be a minimum amount and a maximum to use on what.
Yeah, see, I always overuse it.
Everybody do. Yeah. And if you read books, they talk about grams. I never talk about grams. You talk about milligrams. The maximum you talk is about milligrams.
Yeah, see, I had a Spanish neighbor in Philadelphia, and he was appalled. I made a paella. He was appalled at how much saffron I put in the paella.
Of course. But even when you read a book, they say 3 grams of saffron to make 4 flans. They say, well, and you can read this very often. So it will be rules. How to recognize the quality of the saffron, how to keep saffron, how long to keep saffron. And I'm using dissolutions. I don't work straight away with the threads, but I dissolve saffron in fat, in water, in alcohol, in different things.
Oh, you don't use the threads?
I use the threads in the beginning to make other things, which I'm using later.
I see. I never did. I just throw in the threads. That's bad.
I'm cooking sweet, I use saffron sugar. First, I prepare my saffron sugar, and then I keep it in an airtight container, and I use it for the purpose.
Yeah, I've never used saffron sugar.
No, but they use it because it's not in the market. I'm inventing this.
You're inventing it. this woman, listeners, I mean, she goes a mile a minute, and just... I don't know how you keep all your ideas straight in your head. I mean, it's like on and on and on.
And in English.
And in English, no less. So, where are we? Maybe, Pedro, would you like to describe where we are?
Yeah, this is really very easy. This is less than a block away from the Ramblas, which is the main north-south street in Alicante.
La Rambla,
not the same as in Barcelona, because it's a street on which cars move very rapidly. You must be very careful, and it's one street back from the Esplanade,
yes,
behind the beach.
Yes.
So it's really easy to find. Is the entrance through the hotel?
No, you've got an entrance through Calle Altamira.
Okay.
Which is there.
Which
and
is
the another
street.
Entrance.
And there's an entrance on the street on the other side.
Yes.
Which is the same street that leads to the town hall, the Ayuntamiento.
That's it.
So it's really easy to find. And
the website is...
Yes, there we go. Go.
Is www.monastrell.com. And whatever restaurant you come to, you'll have all this. Each restaurant is infused not only with good food and wonderful products, and a concern with healthful production of food and healthful food, but also with the animation and spirit of the owners.
I just have to add one more thing. We sat at lunch at the bar, and we had three forks attacking the same dishes. So
this is very Spanish.
This is a chef who eats her own Russian salad.
She eats her
own food sitting right here. So it is good, but if you want any validation, all you have to do is, I think, realize that that's exactly what's going on. Maria, we had a wonderful time. Thank you so much for your hospitality. Thank you for Jenny's hospitality last evening. And I hope our path will come through Alicante again. But perhaps,
I'm sure.
But perhaps your path will cross ours in the United States before then. We hope so.
We are very proud to have you here. It's a honor. And we really like to be known in America, in the United States, because I know you will all come to see us, which is very good for us. I mean, we live, our main industry is tourism, and we try to do our best to so that when you come, you are pleased.
Well, you're a natural hostess and a really charming friend. Thank you so much.
Thanks to you. Nice
Bye-bye.
To meet you.
And stay with us while we take a short break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. You know, the nice thing about the lady chefs of Alicante is that they're all buddies, too.
Yeah, they're all good friends. In fact, Maria Jose called her friend
at La Serena,
and arranged for us to go there the very next day. Just to make it complicated, we had something else on our calendar, so we switched it to Sunday. Went out into the country for the day on the train. It was really quite an adventure. And we had a lovely visit at an absolutely charming restaurant in a town that is much better known for making shoes than it is for making anything else.
I mention that I still am a little annoyed that I couldn't buy any shoes because they were heavy and we were already close to overweight on our luggage.
Yeah, so why are you annoyed?
I don't know. You said a scarf. That wasn't quite good.
Well, the other problem we had was we almost missed the train. We didn't have time to do shopping because we arrived at 1 o'clock. We left at 5 minutes to 5 to catch a train that left at 5 o'clock. So I don't know exactly when you thought we had spare time to shop for shoes.
Well, there were lots of shoe shops,
I never saw any shoe shops, I have to admit. But we'll just have to go there again. I'm sure we have not worn out our welcome. It was a delightful visit and an absolutely
charming, wonderful
person who's been amazingly cooking in this restaurant for 27 years since she and her husband started it. So here's the chef owner at La Serena.
Well, I could actually stay here at La Serena and eat more, except I probably wouldn't be able to waddle out of the door. But Maria Carmen Velez, did I murder that or is that good enough to pronounce your name?
Maria Carmen Velez.
Yeah,
yes, that's right.
you were an icon of cooking in this area of Spain. Give us a little bit of background about you were born exactly here.
Yes,
in
I
this
did.
Town. What is this town?
This town is Petrel. Petrel is very near from Elda. Petrel and Elda, it's two together cities, you know? It's only a street that separates one city from the other. Elda is very famous because of the shoes making.
I never had a chance to look at these famous shoes.
Yes,
okay.
It's a very important center. From many American factories produce the shoes here in Elda. So it was very famous. Now it's only a little decrease because of the crisis. But, they go together, and La Sirena is a restaurant that is site between them, just in the street that separate one people from the other, Petrel and Elda. It's Avenida de Madrid. It's very
now,
nice.
Now, I asked you why you would pick this place to open a really high-end, fabulous restaurant, and you said because...
Okay, because we were born here. My mother and father had a fish market. They work in a fish market in Elda and Petrel, and we travel a lot all over the world. So we went to many cities from the east, for instance, Indonesia and Jakarta and all over there. And then my mother was very impetuous, and she thought, why not we can open a restaurant here because we know a lot of fish, and maybe at fish market, like in Thailand, it would be a very interesting idea. I was studying for a lawyer in that Ibuka. I was born young, and my actually husband was studying for engineering. And we went here all the weekend just to help them. And one time we decided, why not we become a restaurateur or hostel? And this would be a very nice thing to do for our lives. Because
but
we
how
love.
How long ago was that?
Oh, 27 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I was almost a child.
Do you ever have second thoughts? It is not an easy job.
No, I was really in love with this business. You know, I love cooking. I love people. I love restaurant, all gastronomy. I loved it.
Now, I've been impressed because one of my interests is, of course, women chefs.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a huge concentration of women chefs in this part of Spain. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, actually, we went to a program on the wines of Navarra and found that more than half of the winemakers were women. Why is it, what allows so much freedom for women in the wine and food in Spain?
Okay, I don't know. Maybe because we like gastronomy and maybe we are courageous, no? It's courageous valientes, no? People, I think this area from La Peninsula, from Spain, Levante, Valencia, Alicante, this area is very open, as you say, for women, no? But a lot of opportunities. And I don't know why, but here there's a lot of concentration, a high concentration of women professional cookers.
And good and exceptionally talented and very successful.
Oh, thank you so much.
It was interesting. It's interesting to go back to when we interviewed Carmen Ruscalleda, who
yes.
you know.
Yes.
And she spoke to us about how difficult it was for her to become a chef
mm-hmm.
in Catalonia, what the struggles were, how people didn't believe she could do that.
Mm. Well, but it hasn't
maybe
been...
Maybe she helped to break the barriers down for you.
Okay, well, it haven't been easy, no?
It's not been easy.
I beg your pardon for my English. It's awful.
Your English is wonderful.
Thank you so much.
I'm sparing everybody my Spanish.
Okay, it's been no easy at all. Getting the high level, you know, in gastronomy, in cooking, because it is a immense world, indeed. But maybe we are fortunate because of the people. Maybe the high cuisiners, the high cooks are the more open ones, you know? They understand that why not a female, why not a woman can be a good cook? It only means making things fine with sensitive. I don't know how to describe how to cook. If you put your alma, it's your...
Same spirit?
Interior. You put everything you have when you cook. Maybe you can do anything fine, you know? And people like cooking. All our mothers are who has teach us, women and men. And professionally, it's very difficult because it's very hard work. you know. But if you don't, mind, you can become a perfect cook.
You have to juggle it with husband, children, you know, the whole thing.
It's only that you have to renounce to give away something, familiar things. Children, you have a lot of responsibilities, and you have to manage how to try to manage a familiar life with a professional life. Well, all this time cooking, the journey is very long. You can work 15 hours a day if you want, or even all the hours, because even when you sleep, you are thinking about meal, and it's not so easy. But if you love it, I think, like other many works.
How did you develop your style? It's very, very specific to you. You do a balance of sweet and savory.
Well, I like the mixture of everything, you know. I like sweet, I like salt, and I try to use all the products from here near, you know, from my territory. I like citrus, I like fish, all over the world.
Oh, I could die for those. Were they red prawns I had? What were they?
Mm-hmm.
Where were they from?
From Santa Pola, very near port.
I could...
it every day, you know? It only has five little hours from the water. It's very fresh.
Oh, absolutely fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, who did you study with, or how did you learn what you
do? Well, it's autodidactic. I don't know if the word
is
correct.
It is.
No.
Autodidactic.
I started to cook. Self-taught. Yes. I have a cook. It was Christian Luteau. It's a French one that was working in the bouillie at the first time of the bouillie, then the beginning. And he had, because he's closed now as a restaurant, and he taught me how to cook. He showed me all the beginnings of the cooking, you know, and then afterwards I was reading a lot and trying a lot. I study from books, from the newspaper, from internet, from everywhere. I love studying constantly, you know.
Yeah, you're very passionate about what you do, which
well,
comes through.
I try to make things beautiful, and I don't mind if it goes a lot. I don't mind if it takes time or esfuerzo. I don't mind.
But all your plates coming out are so beautiful also. You have to have a very strong artistic side.
Oh, thank you very much. I hope.
Oh, the plates are beautiful.
Oh, I try to make a food beautiful as well, no? The presentation. You must see the plate that claims your attention because of the visuality, because of the colors, the position of the food. And afterwards, you have to see all the meal, all the savor, the flavor, everything in your mouth. And afterwards, you have to sense that your stomach is plain but not hake. It's not full, not enough, you know? It's smooth. I would like to get that in my meat, with my food.
I mean, you have such a mature talent. It's just amazing to me.
Oh, thank you so much.
Let's talk a little bit about what we had. We did the menu degustación, but you did modifications and substitutions. Let's pick out a couple of things to explain your style. What would you like to talk about as sort of an example of your style of cooking from what we had? Pick a dish.
Okay. We started with the Navaja. I know the name in English.
Razor clams.
Razor clams. Oh, razor clams. I like them because they're very sweet. And it's accompanied with a salsa agridulce. It's a sweet sour. With dátiles. Dátiles, I don't know, it's a fruit from the dates, from the palmeras, and honey. Azahar is orange honey. I let you know, in Valencia, in Alicante, there are a lot of orange trees here, and I use them. I think this sweet and agridulce. I think it's a very nice sauce for this razor that is sweet also. Afterwards, the cocochas de merluza, al pil pil de romero. Cocochas is this part of the hake. The cheek. And pil pil is a Basque sauce. Pil pil is oil with all the juice of the chicks. You mix together and you get a sauce, a very swift sauce.
Yeah, it's so hot. I mean, I thought it was going to be puri, but it was not. It was peel.
Mm-hmm. Peel.
Yeah.
And the vieira is sanjeks?
Scallops.
With vegetables and also again, citrics. Citrics is orange, lima, lemon, everything together. And shrimps with violets and roses. It's a very floral plate because I like roses. And I thought about how it would taste a plate with the shrimps. These langostinos are from Vinaroz. Vinaroz is a place near from Alicante in Valencia. And it's very famous, this kind of shrimps. It's not king prawns, I think you tell them.
But it was very interesting because you made them into the shape of a ravioli.
Yes.
But there was no ravioli in the ravioli.
It was
no
pasta.
It was really clever.
All the carne of the how do you call meat? The meat of the shrimps, it was plastic, chopped, and we made the ravioli. It's very nice place. I liked it very much. We don't have artichokes now, but we changed for octopus. You remember?
Yes, with potatoes.
And then bonito is tuna fish, very little tuna fish.
That was very good, yeah.
Very good, because we make anything that would involve with a lot of spices.
Spices,
yes. Yeah. Lot of them, a mixture of Jamaica, pepper, red pepper, black pepper, white pepper, and a lot of things all together. And then you take the red mullets with...
Oh, that was very good,
you
too.
You like that? Yeah. With thyme, jelly. Did you say it's from my sister, Lola?
Yeah,
Lola
is
genius.
Your sister is the pastry chef.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that amazing that you two should have developed the same talent for cooking? But hers in the sweets department, they were gorgeous desserts. What did we have? Explain this pineapple carpaccio.
Pineapple carpaccio, yes, with Jamaica pepper. I think this is cut it very, very, the sheets are very soft. And then we put in the refrigerator and they cook by frozen. Not hot, but frozen. It's very interesting thing. And also the pepper and everything together, all the little sieves of vegetables. It makes, I think, a very nice conjunction.
The biggest surprise with that dessert is that it looked like it was cold, but it was actually warm.
Yes, that's nice.
Well, we love that. Now, I want to say that your wine program is very well developed, and we had a lot of help from our server. David helped us with the wines, and they were very good.
Oh.
And I was amazed at the back bar in your bar. You also have, in addition to the fine dining restaurant, you have a place where people can come, sit at the bar, and have tapas. And I've never seen so many top label spirits in my life.
Yeah, you have a wonderful display from our friends from the Nonino family.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we love the Nonino sisters.
Yes, the tapas is very famous here, you know, and very good because people encounter of the bar, they get together on the bar, maybe they knew each other for the first time in the bar, and afterwards they became very good friends. It's a very nice place to get together to know new people, and all the tapas are nice. You see
them. The tapas are gorgeous. Yes.
Okay, now let's go over the logistics before we forget. You can come here to El de Petrel on the train.
Uh-huh.
It's the first stop on the train to Madrid
from Alicante.
But then you might not find a taxi waiting. You might have to call one to come. But that's about 5 minutes away. If you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
Which we were not adventurous enough to do, I'm sure is not hard to find. And you have a website that explains how to make reservations and some background information.
Yes,
and the website is?
It's lasirena.net. Lasirena.net. Net.
Oh, okay, La Serena, which is S-E-R-E-N-A, .net.
Net.
If you don't read Spanish, you won't be able to understand, as I couldn't understand what was on the website. We simply had instructions from Marie Jose San Roman that we must come here.
Yes.
And we were delighted that we did. All we can tell you, listeners, is if you don't follow in our footsteps, mm-hmm. you are missing out on the wonderful flavors and the wonderful people of Alicante. You just must come here.
Yeah, and I mean, if you have trouble finding your way, email us. As you know, it's on the menu at onthemenuradio.com. I really feel like it's too soon to leave, but we have to catch a train back.
Oh,
yeah. But muchas gracias.
Oh, thank you so much.
Wonderful.
I'm very proud to have you here. I hope you enjoy it. I beg your pardon because of my English is so awful. I used to speak English better than now, but
well,
it's so long
Spanish?
Ago.
Did you hear my Spanish?
No, you're English.
I must go to the United States just to practice my English, to improve my English.
Okay. Please would you also do something for us, because we intended to find time to go to La Finca,
mm-hmm.
to your friend
La Finca
Susie
in Elche, yes, it's my friend.
And then there's another restaurant
Susie's
called
very
Pepper.
Nice one.
Just mention that name as well, if you would.
Oh, it's very nice one. It's very near from here, just only maybe 20 minutes from Elda Petrel and 10 minutes from Alicante. It's between Alicante and Petrel.
That's La Finca.
La Finca
and
in Elche.
One
in
Pepper.
Elche.
Pepper Romance.
Pepper Romance in Ondara. It's more near Valencia. It's up Alicante and a big, maybe half an hour from here.
Right. And then we should add, if you're completing a culinary tour from Alicante, it's not so far to go to Denia to see our friend Kike da Costa.
Oh, Kike da Costa.
From our last trip here. So this is an incredible dining destination.
Yes. And just one other thing, that check in, because Maria gives cooking classes.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be an adventure.
It would be an adventure.
Do you list the cooking classes on your website?
I put some points in my website, and now I have a new establishment, a new restaurant. It's called Quintalafi. It's a very big one for wedding events and things like that. And I've been asked to do classes, you know, to impart classes there, because there is a lot of people, fine people, who likes to learn cooking, and I'd be very pleased.
Thank you again.
Thank you so much. You're welcome.
And at this point, I think we could pause one more time for a short commercial break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Back once again, and we didn't have time to really see, to get to talk to all of the women chefs in this area, and we have on our next list some really interesting people. Who did we not get to talk to? There were two in
particular. We've actually tried to go there before too, but it's hard to fit everything in, because La Serena, which is in the town of Petrer, it's a journey of some distance. It's like 35 or 40 minutes on the train, and then a taxi to get there. And the same is true of two other places in slightly different establishments. Susie Diaz, who's at a restaurant called La Finca,
yeah,
outside the village of Elche, which is slightly closer to Alicante than is Petrer, where La Serena is located. And then the other one is, the chef's name is Pepper Romance. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. It's Romans. And her establishment's called Casa Pepa, Pepa, in the town of Ondara, which is a little further away and generally in the direction of Valencia. They're all reachable by train or by bus, or by car, of course, if you happen to have one, which we didn't at the time. And we wanted to mention these two people before going to the end of the program, because it's a fitting conclusion to a program on lady chefs in the Alicante region. To say there's a generational thing going on here too.
Right.
Because Maria Jose and her husband's daughter Jenny, spelt unusually G-E-N-I, is the manager.
That's not unusual for Spain.
is the general manager of the second restaurant, that, goalkeeper Sandra Manns and his wife established. First was a Frankfurter joint, and the second was a place that's been there for about 20 years called Taberna della Gourmet.
And I loved Taberna.
Well, this is, you're not the only one, because right. It was voted best bar in Spain in 2010. And it's a whole lot more than just a bar. And we had a wonderful time there. We actually went twice, as you referenced in the interview. And we talked to Jenny in the middle of evening service on a Friday evening. So
it was a little lively.
There's a little background noise that you might notice, but I think you'll still enjoy the interview. And it's a place. It's the first place we went in Alicante. It's the first place I recommend you go to.
We are actually, for the second time in 2 days, at La Taberna del Gourmet. We love it, and everybody else seems to love it, too. Now, we're going to be talking to Jenny, who runs this operation, but you are going to tell us, you have so many names, could you please recite through them, and why are you called Jenny?
My name is Maria Eugenia. But in Catalonia, my father comes from Barcelona. They say Maria Eugenia. And this is because my grandmother used to call me from Eugenia, Jenny. It's just in the middle.
And what's Peramon San Roman?
Okay, Peramon is my father, and San Roman is my mother. Because in Spain, we used to wear...
That's traditional.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. My father, he's from Barcelona, and my mother, she's from Valladolid. Asturias is north Spain, close to Galicia.
She's from Asturias?
Yeah.
Wow, that's cold.
Yeah.
Okay, now, you were born into this restaurant business.
Yes.
Could you tell us just a little bit about your background? Your father opened a very important restaurant here, right?
Okay, I explain you. My father, he was a very, very important handball player in Spain. And he was a goalkeeper.
Was
he? Yeah, and he was, and he used to play with the Spanish selection. He been in the Olympics in Munich, and he was a very important person in Spain because he was the best goalkeeper in the world. And he came from Barcelona to Alicante because it was a team in Alicante who wanted to have a humble team. And he bring my father from Barcelona, paying a lot of money, to play here.
And your father's name is?
José Perramón.
José Perramón, okay.
And
what years did he play? I mean...
What?
What era was this in? How long ago?
Now 30 years ago.
Okay.
And with the money he won when he was playing, the first thing he made was... And a small Frankfurt. Frankfurt, this is a bar that we used to eat sausages, German sausages, hot dogs. But in Barcelona, this kind of restaurants, we call it Frankfurt. And he opened a small restaurant, and it begins with that. And then he opened, we also have a discotheque for 25 years right now, yeah. And then he opens La Taberna del Gourmet 30 years ago right now. And it was in a small place. And it was like a typical tapas bar, very nice, small. And I was born there. And I mean, I used to work when I was very young on holidays. And
When did he break into the big restaurant business?
Okay, when I finished school, I won all my life when I was... From when I was young, I like the restaurants and everything. And my father told me if I want to study hotel management, and he paid me a very good school in Switzerland. I study hotel management, in Geneva, in Vieux-Voix, called Hotelier.
Wow.
And I studied there for 5 years. And when I came back to Alicante. We change everything. And we make the Taberna del Gourmet bigger. And I mean, my father felt that with me can grow much better than with my mother alone. And I was young and I...
But your mother is involved with this too.
Yes, my mother, she's a very, very good chef. She's a very, I mean, all his life, she works when she was very young in a very good restaurant from Spain. I don't know if you know, but she used to work with El Celler de Can Roca.
Oh, yes,
it's
of course,
in,
I know that.
Gerona. Yeah,
Gerona,
with,
yes,
Joan
we know
Roca.
It well, yes.
Also with Nechel in Barcelona, it's a 2 Michelin stars.
Which one is that?
In Barcelona, Nechel.
We know that too.
You know, my father, he loves to eat all his life.
And is that why he married your mother?
Yes. The first present that my father gives to my mom, it was the, I don't know how you call it in English, but it's the, all the books of the Culinary Institute of France with all the receipts, and this is the first present.
La Rousse
Gastronomique. I didn't know the name, but it's the La Rousse Gastronomique.
How romantic.
Yeah, very romantic.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I mean, there's so many things to talk to you about. You just got back from a White House conference.
Yes,
with Michelle Obama. You and your mother went.
Yeah, we were invited with Jose Andres, the Spanish chef working in Washington. Now he has a restaurant in Los Angeles.
Oh, he's everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. And now
he's everywhere.
At the end of the year, he's going to open in Las Vegas. Then he invited us to Jaleo Restaurant to make the Paella Festival. And we went there to make like 6 different paella. And we went also to 2 different culinary institutes to talk about saffron. Because my mother, she's very, in Spain, they call her the queen of saffron.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's going to write a book about saffron.
Oh, good.
And I think probably next year will be on the
We'll talk to her about that when we interview her.
Well, yeah.
Jose is he's a force of nature. He's amazing.
Yes.
I know.
Then we went to Washington, and he told us, because Michelle Obama, he invited him to a conference, and he asked us if we want to go, and we said yes. And we went to the conference in the White House. It was a very, very hot day. Oh my God.
It is hot in D.C.
We used to live there.
It's very hot.
And it was very good because Samuel Cass is the chef of the White House, the personal chef of the White House.
It's a woman.
It's a man, Samuel.
Who?
Samuel Cass. He's the chef of the White House.
Oh, yes. Okay, that's the
personal chef. He's from Chicago.
Yeah.
He came with Obama from Chicago to work with them.
But, I mean, the actual White House chef is a woman.
Yes, he is. Yeah. And they make a conference. It was very, very interesting because they are looking to make the food in United States better, to make it healthier. And it was very interesting. He wanted to change everything from the schools and hotels and restaurants.
Yeah, this is launching Michelle Obama's anti-obesity campaign in children. Yeah,
I mean, it's very important, and I think we have to do this in Spain. Because
I began to wonder, I noticed, by the way, that the Spanish people I've seen this trip, and we were just here last fall, are fatter.
Yeah.
I mean, literally fatter than they were last time.
Yeah.
Jenny, I noticed that on one of the main streets here in Alicante is an obesity clinic.
Yeah, because we have the port just in front and the explanada, that is a very big street with the palmiers. And it's the most important thing in Alicante, this explanada and the port.
Yeah.
And then we have the Hotel de Ville, the government of Alicante is on the left side. And Alicante is small. But all the city lives in front of the sea.
Yeah.
It's everything close to the sea.
It is a wonderful place, Alicante.
Yeah.
But talk to us a little bit about your restaurant, which everybody is so happy here.
Yes.
And we enjoyed our food the other night, too.
I mean, it's a kind of food that is very amazing because we used to eat here, like, it's a tapas bar, but we call this gastrobar. That means tapas, but a little bit better than the traditional tapas, with better products, with better ways of cook,
More sophisticated,
yeah.
Actually.
And we can offer expensive products that you used to eat in a very high restaurants, like high-level restaurants. But you can come here and have some truffle and have some caviar, but in small pieces. And you can have foie gras. I mean, they are like products that normally you used to eat in a very important restaurants.
Yeah.
But we can offer this here, you know what I mean?
And yeah, it's a very attractive space. It's a very smart clientele.
Yeah.
Not dressy, but casually smart.
Right.
And it makes you feel good being here.
Yes, I think so.
When we were at lunch, only yesterday, the people next to us were very talkative, but they were also eating a lot. And they had your wonderful tuna dish.
Yes.
Which disappeared in less than 5 minutes.
Yes.
And we had that crispy bread.
Oh, the pan de cristal.
Yeah, they insisted we have that.
The translation of pan de cristal is like bread of crystal. I mean, it's very thin, very lighty, and it's crusty, it's very nice.
Very fresh.
Yes.
Fresh tomatoes.
Yes.
Let's have some particulars about this. Do you take reservations?
Yes, normally yes. And on weekend, we used to take 2 or 3 times by service. I mean, on Friday night, we have people coming at 7:30. They have to leave the table at 9:30.
Oh, okay.
And then the third, it begins at 11. Three times.
But it's worth noticing, listeners, that you can reserve as early as
7:30. Yeah.
Because for us, the adjustment to Spain, where you dine at 9 or 9:30,
yeah,
or 10 or 10:30 at night, is a little unusual. So.
But I'm trying to make, say that? Because, you know, I live in Switzerland for 5 years, and I'm
you
very
live
punctual.
Where?
Switzerland, Geneva. And you know, in Switzerland, the time is very important. And I would like, with this way, to make the people more punctual. Because if they don't come on time, they lost the table. And they know that is like this.
Lots
and now they come at time.
Lots of luck. You're making it work?
Now,
yes.
Now, hold on just a sec. Let's also mention that lunchtime is also very, very busy.
Yes.
Now, we arrived at 1:15, and there was no one here.
Today.
No, this was yesterday.
Yesterday.
Well, and then?
By 2 o'clock.
Yes.
Everything was full. So if you're coming to lunch, either make a reservation at 2 o'clock
yes,
or come earlier than that.
You know, but in summer, more and more people used to come later. I don't know why. Probably because it's hotter outside. But in winter, they come earlier. Depends on the weather.
That's true all across Europe.
Yeah.
Before we conclude this, this concept is such a success. You are also in the process of opening another concept in where, Beirut?
In Beirut, in Lebanon. Yeah. I think it's a place where these things they don't know nothing about, and they are Christians in Lebanon. They eat pork, because you have to be very careful with that. Yeah, because in the Spanish food, I know not everything, but 20% of the products, they come from the pig. The jamon, yeah. And when you open a restaurant, you have to see where are you going to open. Because this restaurant in Morocco, I mean, they don't eat pork. Forget it.
Right.
And almost 20% of the products, the typical is chorizo, ham, they come from the pig. And you have to be very careful with the things, you know?
Anyhow, one last word for our listeners.
Right.
Can you say one last word?
You know, with these restaurants, I would like to make, I mean, the best, not the best food, but the best healthy flavor and good food you can offer to your clients. Organic products, good cooks, to cook it good,
right?
And fresh things. This is the most important. And informal restaurant, you know? You don't have to come here and come to, you can eat to share in the middle.
And everybody talks, and it's a great atmosphere.
Yeah. Informal.
Listeners, we've been here twice, and we love it.
All right.
Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Oh, it reminds me of how much fun we had.
Yeah. So anyway, so there you have it, a definitive piece on Lady Chefs. In southern Spain.
I don't know if it's definitive. I'm sure there are lots more. There's something in the climate there that inspires this kind of success.
Okay, I think it's a recent phenomenon, and I think it's still considered fairly remarkable myself. But you and I can disagree over that, and listeners, you can make up your mind for yourself. After all, you can do that. We're going to be back with more restaurants that we experienced in Alicante in next week's program. So we'll see you then. Same time, same place next week.
Bye-bye.